Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Laura Fauces presents a practical personal development book built around a stark premise: the awareness of death can clarify how a person chooses to live. The book belongs to the self-help and intentional living category, with emphasis on purpose, mental well-being, productivity, and everyday decision-making. Its structure is described as a set of 29 timeless lessons intended for readers who feel that they are surviving routines rather than actively shaping a meaningful life. Rather than treating mortality as a purely philosophical idea, Fauces uses it as a practical lens for evaluating time, attention, regret, and priorities. The book encourages readers to release what can no longer be changed and to begin building a life they would respect when looking back. Its purpose is not to offer a complex theory of happiness, but to translate existential urgency into clear principles, reflection, and small acts of intentional change. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, mortality is used as a practical compass for priority setting. The defining idea of the book is that death awareness can be productive when it is handled with clarity rather than panic. Fauces does not appear to use mortality only for dramatic effect. The premise functions as a filter for judging whether current habits, relationships, ambitions, and distractions deserve the space they occupy. In this framework, the fact that time is limited is not an abstract truth to acknowledge occasionally, it is the condition that makes prioritization necessary. This gives the book a different emphasis from self-improvement works that begin with ambition, confidence, or optimization. Here, the starting point is finitude, and the practical question is what deserves commitment before time runs out. The reasoning is direct: if life is temporary, then postponed values are not neutral, they become choices with consequences. By making mortality visible, the book asks readers to compare what they say matters with how they actually spend their days. That comparison is central to its method. Secondly, letting go of the unchangeable past becomes a condition for meaningful action. A major theme in the book is the need to stop investing emotional energy in what cannot be changed. This is not presented as indifference to the past, but as a practical boundary between reflection and immobilizing regret. Fauces frames better living as beginning with a commitment to release what is no longer available for revision and to redirect attention toward what can still be built. The logic is important because many self-help books focus on future goals without addressing the psychological weight that prevents movement. In this book, regret, missed chances, and previous mistakes matter because they can quietly shape present behavior. The proposed shift is to use the past as information rather than as a place to remain. This theme also fits the mortality-centered premise: limited time makes prolonged fixation on irreversible events especially costly. The book therefore treats letting go as an active discipline, not a vague emotional state, because it frees time and focus for decisions that remain possible. Thirdly, better decisions are framed as possible even under imperfect circumstances. The book emphasizes making better decisions regardless of circumstances, which gives its advice a practical rather than idealized quality. This matters because readers who feel stuck often wait for a cleaner moment before acting: more stability, more confidence, more time, or fewer obligations. Fauces appears to challenge that delay by placing responsibility within the limits of real conditions. The point is not that circumstances are irrelevant, but that circumstances do not remove the need for choice. A decision can still be better if it moves a person closer to what they value, reduces avoidable distraction, or prevents another period of passive drift. This approach avoids presenting transformation as a sudden reinvention. Instead, it treats judgment as a daily skill shaped by attention, trade-offs, and clarity about consequences. Under the book's mortality lens, indecision is not merely a neutral pause, it can become a default path. The useful implication is that meaningful living depends less on perfect conditions than on repeated, value-based choices within ordinary constraints. Fourthly, the book targets the shift from survival mode to intentional living. The intended reader is someone who feels more like a survivor of routine than an active participant in life. This gives the book a recognizable, practical audience: people who are functioning, but not necessarily living in alignment with their hopes, values, or deeper sense of purpose. Fauces uses this distinction to separate external activity from meaningful engagement. A person can be busy, productive, and responsible while still feeling that life is being postponed. The book's contribution is to name that condition and connect it to the misuse of time, energy, and focus. Survival mode often narrows attention to immediate demands, while intentional living requires deciding what kind of future will be worth remembering. The 29-lesson format supports this transition by breaking the larger question of a meaningful life into approachable reflections and actions. The theme is not escape from responsibility. It is the reorganization of responsibility so that daily effort serves something more deliberate than maintenance alone. Lastly, actionable lessons and reflection prompts translate existential insight into practice. The book's structure is important because its subject could easily remain abstract. Mortality, purpose, and meaning are broad themes, but Faustus presents them through 29 lessons that are described as clear and actionable. This format suggests an emphasis on application prompts, principles, and practical reflection rather than extended philosophical argument. The advantage of this approach is accessibility. Readers are not required to accept a complete life system before benefiting from individual ideas. They can examine one area of life, identify a misalignment, and take a specific step. The possible limitation is that readers seeking deep theoretical treatment of death, ethics, or psychology may find the book more direct than scholarly. Its strength lies elsewhere. It turns a difficult awareness into usable questions about time, values, attention, and choice. The lessons function as repeated interruptions to autopilot. By returning the reader to concrete reflection, the book attempts to keep existential urgency from fading into temporary inspiration. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who feel caught between busyness and dissatisfaction, especially those who sense that they are postponing important changes without knowing where to begin. It may also appeal to readers interested in personal development that uses existential reflection rather than conventional achievement language. The practical benefit is its focus on clarifying priorities, reducing attachment to what cannot be changed, and making decisions that better reflect personal values. Intellectually, it offers a simple but forceful organizing idea. Mortality is not only an ending to fear, but a measure for evaluating how life is being spent now. Compared with many books in the self-help category, its distinction lies in the combination of direct mortality awareness with a compact lesson-based structure. It does not appear to rely on a complex productivity system, a therapeutic model, or a promise of constant positivity. Instead, it asks readers to confront finitude and then make ordinary life more deliberate. That makes it useful for people who want reflection connected to action, not merely encouragement. Readers who prefer gentle inspiration may find the premise confronting, but that same directness is what gives the book its specific place among intentional living guides. If you would like to support Laura Faustus, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.